Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
The American Revolution is all around us, and as the nation's founding moment, the American Revolution serves as a source of powerful founding myths and remains the most accessible and most contested event in U.S. history. More than any other, it stands as a proxy for how Americans perceive the nation's aspirations. That, according to our next guest, Andrew Schockett, Director of American Culture Studies and Associate Professor of History and American Culture Studies at Bowling Green State University in Ohio. In his new book, Fighting Over the Founders, he explores how politicians, screenwriters, activists, biographers, jurists, museum professionals, and reenactors portray the American Revolution. Again, the name of the book is Fighting Over the Founders, How We Remember the American Revolution. It is published by NYU Press, and we welcome Andrew Schockett to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you here. What brought you to the subject of how ultimately we remember the American Revolution?
Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to, as a historian, I wanted to study the American Revolution was I had been living in Washington, D.C. Many years ago, and I wanted to learn about the origins of the institutions that we still live under. And it occurred to me after studying the past and studying the American Revolution for about 20 years that we still look at the Revolution through this haze of contemporary culture and contemporary politics. And so I want to understand what that was.
You have this question that you're looking to answer in the book of what are we using the revolution to debate? And this comes out of looking at this over the last couple of decades, that we look at the revolution as a way of working out some of our troubles.
Absolutely. I mean, the revolution is our one common moment, our one common set of symbols as a people and a nation. And so if those are going to be our examples of what we are and where we've come from, then controlling or having some way of projecting our views onto those is a way of having great cultural legitimacy.
When it comes to the remembering of the American Revolution, and you make this point, but I'm interested in you going into it a bit further, and that is of what we are taught and how we are taught it, and then ultimately how it comes to us later in life in a political and social setting.
Sure. I mean, we're taught the schoolhouse rock version in school. I mean,
right.
I know I was.
Yeah.
And
I mean, literally, I think that was how they taught it.
Pretty much. And it hasn't changed that much, at least judging by my daughter's education. And that history, you know, it's very heroic, which is nice, but it doesn't get into the complexities of the American Revolution. It doesn't get into that it wasn't just a revolution of a few elite people, it was a revolution of thousands of people, and that people had to make very difficult decisions, and that freedom for a lot of people wasn't necessarily the same as national independence. And that a lot of the heroes and a lot of the history that's been handed down to us very much celebrates just some people rather than a wider swath of Americans then or now.
There was a great chapter in the book called We the Tourists, The Revolution at Museums and Historical Sites. I grew up in the city of Philadelphia. You leave Ohio and decide you're going to pack your bags and see how history comes alive in these historical sites. And of course, you head to Philadelphia, among other places. And it's a fascinating exercise, isn't it?
Oh, it was. And I have great affection for Philadelphia. I did my dissertation research there. My wife and I met there. It's a wonderful city, but it was really fascinating to see, you know, the symbols that have been memorialized there. Of course, you know, Independence Hall, the Liberty Bell. But when we look at Independence Hall, it's what we celebrate there are you know, the signers of the Declaration of Independence, the framers of the Constitution, as we should. But until very recently, there was almost no commemoration of the African Americans who did so much to build this country, and that in a city that is probably around 40% African American.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I think for a long time, when we think of who's been doing the commemorating for a long time, I mean, these are most of the sites in Philadelphia are federal sites established by or preserved by the National Park Service. And they just not until recently, not until the last 30 or 40 years, has African American history really been a priority or a consideration on the national level in the United States.
In this chapter, you have a great look at the National Constitution Center. This is relatively new in the city of Philadelphia. What do you make of its existence?
Well, I think it's a wonderful facility. I think the idea behind it was that there was no institution to celebrate and study the Constitution. The document that still is sort of the charter for our government and society. But part of that, in a way, was very conservative to celebrate it rather than to think about not only what it allows, but in what ways it limits us as a people. And, of course, there are many corporate sponsors for it, which I think on the one hand is great that these corporations are civic-minded, but it also tends to promote a very static view and very celebratory view of the Constitution rather than a view that also encourages citizens to think about the Constitution and how it operates in our life. And I will say that the National Constitution Center does do a lot of wonderful programming there that is, I think, a little bit more nuanced than the more celebratory exhibits that it has that most people flow through in the course of a day.
In your conclusion to the book, you write, "When politicians speak of the wisdom of the Founding Fathers or working toward a more perfect union, note how they are framing a debate concerning history and the relationship between the past and the present." And that's ultimately what you hope people will take from the book, is to read into what people are saying and how they're framing things when they bring up the American Revolution.
Absolutely. And nothing is really more emblematic than those two phrases. Are we a people with a past and thus a future that is, when politicians talk about the Founding Fathers, that is primarily white, male, elite, eternal? Or are we a society that's more pluralistic, that continues to try to improve itself, that realizes that we're a wonderful society, but there are ways that we're not living up to our ideals and that our ideals change over time? And that's sort of at the crux of what politicians are arguing when they're using those two phrases.
The name of the book is Fighting Over the Founders, How We Remember the American Revolution. The book is published by NYU. Andrew Schocket, thank you very much for spending time with us. Very nice to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Fighting Over the Founders. The book is published by NYU Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.